The epistle appointed for this, the third Sunday in Lent, is taken from St. Paul to the Ephesians. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children, and walk in love, as Christ also loved us and delivered himself up for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God, to ascend in a fragrant odor. But immortality and every uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you, as become saints or obscenities or foolish talk or scurrility, which are out of place, but rather thanksgiving. For know this and understand that no fornicator or unclean person or covetous one, for that is idolatry, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and God. Let no one lead you astray with empty words, for because of these things the wrath of God comes upon the children of disobedience. Do not then become partakers with them, for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk then as children of light, for the fruit of the light is in all goodness and justice and truth. Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Luke. At that time, Jesus was casting out a devil, and the same was dumb. And when he had cast out the devil, the dumb man spoke. And the crowds marveled. But some of them said, by Beelzebub, the prince of devils, he cast out devils. And others, to test him, demanded from him a sign from heaven. But he, seeing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself will be brought to desolation, and house will fall upon house. If then Satan also is divided against himself, how shall his kingdom stand? Because you say, I cast out devils by Beelzebub. Now, if I cast out devils by Beelzebub, by whom do your children cast them out? Therefore they shall be your judges. But if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the kingdom of God is come upon you. When the strong man, fully armed, guards his courtyard, his property is undisturbed. But if a stronger than he attacks and overcomes him, he will take away all his weapons that he relied upon and will divide his spoils. He who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through the waterless places in search of rest. And finding none, he says, I will return to my house which I left. And when he has come, he finds the place swept and adorned. And he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself, and enter in and dwell there. And this last state of that man becomes worse than the first. Now it came to pass, as he was saying these things, that a certain woman lifted up her voice from the crowd and said to him, blessed is the womb that bore thee and the breast that nursed thee. But he said, rather, blessed are they who hear the word of God and keep it. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Brethren, be imitators of God as very dear children, and walk in love. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. In this morning's epistle, St. Paul is warning us to cooperate with grace. Cooperate with the graces that God has given us. And to avoid the many evils that the world represents and presents to us. And every day we have to fight against this. To not be, lack of other words, seduced by the worldly ways, the way people act and talk and behave, unbecoming dress, behavior, and such like. Not caring what kind of lifestyle they live, basically throwing caution to the wind. And as St. Paul says, are children of disobedience. So we have to rise above that. And basically that is that we always go after our predominant faults. We're trying to correct ourselves. We don't want to go back to our former sins and dispositions. We're trying to correct that, trying to move forward, to go on, trying to walk, as it says, in the light of Christ, basically in a state of grace, which means we got to stay close to the sacraments, stay close to the sacraments. Use them as often as necessary. We need our Lord's help all the time, all the time. We don't want to be caught off guard and be, as in the gospel says, about the strong man who has well prepared and had his house protected. But when pride or arrogance enters the heart and we lose the grace of God, then the stronger one comes and makes his move, the devil. So we have to be careful, and we have to keep watch over our actions or things we do each day, always trying to perform our good works for the love of God. That's the most important thing. After all, look what he's done for the love of us. Our Lord wants nothing more than to show us mercy, forgive us of our sins and our faults, and to make us like unto himself. That's what pleases the Father. In the gospel, our Lord comes and heals a man that was possessed from the devil. And further reflecting on this, at that time we know that Satan was pretty much in charge of the world. It was his kingdom, his little play field, and pretty much could do whatever he wants. But as always, there's a warfare between kingdoms, his kingdom and Christ's kingdom. And here our Lord comes and challenges the warfare with him and casts this devil out, meaning that the kingdom of God has come upon mankind. Those that saw it were marveled, but the Pharisees, of course, the Pharisees, they had to complain and say, well, by the prince of devils, he does this. So rather of our Lord arguing with them, he just states the bold facts. A kingdom divided against itself cannot stand. So if Satan is divided against himself, how can his kingdom stand? He gives no answer. So he goes on about the strong man and such like. And then after that, he kind of rebukes him by telling him, if I cast out the devils by the finger of God, to whom do your children cast them out? And then tells him, your children are the ones that are going to judge you. But during all this, our Lord reminds them too that he who is not with me is against me, and he who does not gather with me scatters. It's a choice. Which side of the fence are we going to be on? For the kingdom of God or for the kingdom of the world? Or Satan, if you want to use that word. Which side do we want to pick? Are we going to gather, help our Lord, so to speak, by our prayers and praying for other people, our neighbors, our friends, our enemies? Or be like the other side and just don't really care about anything? The strongest and the fittest get the best. So our Lord makes another warning to him. When the unclean spirit has gone out of a man, he roams through the waterless places in search of rest. It's individual, basically, who has gone to confession, confessed his sins, but was not too sincere about his amendment of life. So after he confessed and went home, felt good about himself, cleaned up this, just make everything nice, and adorned everything, looks very pleased with everything, and slowly but surely falling back into his old ways. And what happens to the man? I will return to my house which I left. And when he comes, he finds the place swept and adorned. And he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more evil than himself. And they enter into the dwelling there. And the last state of that man becomes the worse than the first. Basically, when we say we're going to amend our lives, We've got to change. We've got to do it. We don't want to fall backwards into our old selves. That we have to do away with. It's a constant struggle to fight against our nature. But we cannot get discouraged when we fail. We got to think positive, rise above it, pick up our cross, as our Lord says, and follow Him. Which basically means accept everything that comes to you every day. Do your daily duties as best you possibly can. Whatever sufferings the good Lord send us, accept it. Don't complain about it, accept it. And if it seems a little overburdened, that's the time we go and kneel down to the crucifix and ask our Lord for His help. And to meditate on His burden. Look what I did for you. And you cannot handle this little thing I've given to you? We can't make the comparison. So let us just accept it as it is. After all, the good Lord knows how to wash us and make us clean. And this is one of the ways. By accepting whatever He sends our direction. No matter how much it hurts or how painful it may be, it is or becomes, for the love of God, we accept it and offer it back to Him. Not only for our past faults and failings, but for our loved ones, because it is like a prayer too. And lastly, we got the praise of the Blessed Mother, which our Lord, of course, is very pleased at hearing this woman, but He wants to take it a step further. Yes, she is blessed. No question about that. But He said, rather, blessed is he that hears the word of God and keeps it. We hear the word of God every Sunday, and if we come to daily mass, we hear it there too. We got to be very careful that we're not just hearers. We got to be doers. We got to put it into practice. Otherwise, it's fruitless. So we got to think about that too. Our Lord wants us to be humble. He wants us to practice charity, patience, obedience, meekness, kindness. Pray for those who offend us. Help those in need if we can. Never ever thinking about myself. It's got to be about Him. It's like when we're taught in the monastery and, of course, in convents too, when we're serving the sick, that we don't really see the sick person who we are dealing with. We got to look above and see our Lord. Because after our Lord did say, when I was sick, you came to visit me. It's service to Him. All that is service to Him. So every time we have an opportunity to do charitable works, let's think of our Lord. It's doing it for Him. That in our charitable works that He sees that we're doing for the love of Him, that He, in His turn, will do what He promised. Many sins will be washed away or wiped away because of this. And also remember the simple services that the people did to our Lord during His time and the rewards that they received from so simple a service, like Veronica wiping the face of Jesus, or the leopard who cried out, Lord, if Thou will, Thou canst cure me, or just, Lord, remember me, just a remembrance. And look what the reward is. This can only happen if we're truly sorry for what we've done, of course, but truly love and trust the good Lord. We have to watch and pray. Watch to avoid sin and pray as if everything depends on God. And always asking Him each and every day for the graces that you stand most in need of. Especially when we're having hard times and trials and temptations, that we try to over we either have the grace to overcome them or endure them as long as the good Lord wishes it. But always keep in mind, it's a worthy fight, because we only have one shot at this to get it right. And our Lord uses the best tool he can think of to help us achieve this. And that tool is suffering. Don't be afraid to suffer. Look at all the suffering that he did for us. We should be thankful we have something to suffer for the love of him. So as Lent continues on here in our third week, we have been a little negligent or not kept up our resolutions. Let's renew them. Try to be more faithful to them. That these little things that we offer up to the good Lord, that he'll accept them and wash away past failings from former times. And also, too, as a reminder, reread the prayers of the Mass from first Sunday of Lent throughout the weeks all the way up to the present, and see how the church is praying and interceding for us to succeed during these times, with fasting, with prayers, to be humble, to accept. These are very encouraging prayers that the church is praying for us, so we can and will overcome our former faults and failings and become, the same as St. Paul says, better children of the light. Keep your prayers going. It's most important. May God bless you, the Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. Amen.